There's nothing like family. At the end of the day, when the sun sets, that's all you have. Ultimately, that's all you need. A bunch of brothers bleed and sweat together, fought through summer, all the lifting and running for moments like these, because you don't ever get them back. Thank you guys for your heart and soul, because that's what you're gonna put in it tonight. You're gonna do it for the guy to your left and the guy to your right, because that's all that matters. Guy to your left, guy to your right. You know what time it is. It's time to turn the yellow jackets loose. We didn't come here to play around. Came to take care of business. Responsibilities the coaches have passed down to them. Let every man take his assignment seriously. Let him walk with confidence. Let him handle every moment. Let him stand in the face of the challenger. And don't retreat. Empower these men to do what they came here to do. And we'll sing in the end.
We don't fight, we don't fight, we can't fight no more.
We can't fight no more,
we can't fight no more.
You don't have to be a Georgia Tech football fan to know that the chaplain of the team who led this parade, who led these men out on field to battle, was all about one thing, and that one thing was motivating his players to understand what victory would be, how it would look, how it would feel, how it would taste for every single one of those men that were joined together. Today, you have the opportunity to celebrate together that same kind of victory. Jesus said in John 3:17, God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. And those are the words of a Savior. He said in Matthew 17:22-23, I am going to be betrayed into the power of those who will kill me. And on the third day afterwards, I will be brought back to life again. Those are the words of a martyr. He proclaimed in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Those are the words of a leader. Following his resurrection, Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 28:18-20. He says, I've been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples in all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, that I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. Our Savior, our martyr, our leader defeated death. Those on this Easter Sunday are the words we celebrate. Those are the words of a winner. Jesus is the victor, and we like winners. In fact, we like to identify with winners. And for all of you St. Louis Cardinals fans, I know I'm setting you up perfectly. You cannot say a word right now. There was a Market Watch study that was conducted. And what was done is this study was conducted with every single professional sports franchise of the Big Four, NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NFL. And what they did is they wanted to find the top 13 programs that are losing fans the fastest. Now, the study didn't take long. They went through every single team and they found those 13 programs. And while it didn't take long, the findings weren't that surprising either. They found that of those 13 programs that were losing fans the fastest, here's what's not so surprising. 10 of those 13 sports programs were consistently losing each and every season. Let's face it, folks, we like winners. Pastor Tony Evans says, when your favorite sports team wins, you will say, we won. We who, asks Evans. You weren't on the field. You didn't get tackled. You didn't get hit. You didn't throw the ball. You didn't make an interception. You didn't block anyone. What do you mean we won? Evan says we won by identification. Because you identify with the team. When they win, you win. We identify so much that we even call our buddies that live in another city and tell them, we beat you. We vicariously identify. We feel good when our team wins and we feel bad when our team loses. Why? Because we understand that we are related to the team by identity. Continues Evans, when Jesus died, you died. When Jesus arose, you arose. When Jesus comes back, you will rise to go with him because that's who you are. We must identify with who we are in Christ. We have an identity now. In essence, when we become believers, we begin to live like and love like and think like and talk like our Savior. 1 John 2:6 says this, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Jesus said in John 13:15, I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. Paul said in Galatians 3:27, he says, for as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. If we wish today to celebrate the worth of Jesus' conquest, it is going to be necessary to study the words spoken by Jesus from the cross. Because as one writer put it, it took the cross to get the crown. What are we willing to believe? How are we willing to live? How much are we willing to love, to share in Christ's cross, and to share in Christ's crown? Now, this is going to take a lot. We saw the chaplain of the Georgia Tech football team using two words that would imply that it was going to take a lot for them to be victorious on the field. It would take heart and it would take soul. And I can tell you today, folks, on Easter Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday, Victory Sunday, that if we are going to succeed, it's going to take heart and it's going to take soul. R.J. Hammer once said, the final act in the conflict began with the agony of Gethsemane, and it ended with the cross of Calvary. The victory was complete, says Hammer. The triumph lies in the cross itself, the symbol of shame and defeat, becoming the emblem of victory and glory. Let's look at our sermon text for Easter Sunday, which comes from Colossians 2, 13 through 15. Let's read these words. Paul says, you were dead in sins, and your sinful desires were not yet cut away. Then he gave you a share in the very life of Christ. For he forgave all your sins and blotted out the charges proved against you, the list of his commandments which you had not obeyed. He took this list of sins and destroyed it by nailing it to Christ's cross. In this way, God took away Satan's power to accuse you of sin. And here it comes. And God openly displayed to the whole world Christ's triumph at the cross, where your sins were all taken away. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, today we recognize that the victory that was given to us through Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made on the cross is something that we celebrate today. Today I pray that you'll help us to see just how important this victory is. I pray that we will immerse ourselves in the joy and the jubilation that comes from it. And I pray today that the Holy Spirit will move us to a place when we leave this church that we will assume and take this victory with us and share it with everyone that we know. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Jesus' cross and the crown that he wears because of it has significance. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:17 that there is mighty power in the simple message of the cross. Philippians 2 verse 8, he said that Jesus humbled himself even further, going so far as actually to die a criminal's death on a cross. Paul said in Galatians 6:14, as for me, God forbid that I should boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 2 says this. He says, keep your eyes on Jesus, our leader and instructor. He was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy he knew would be his afterwards, and now he sits in the place of honor by the throne of God. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Now those are good words on a great day. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Stan Toler said this. He says, vision always precedes victory. Today on this Easter Sunday, we must see that Jesus' cross is the vehicle, the ventricle, the means for which we can attain Christian victory. That cross is critical. Jesus encouraged its importance in Matthew 10:38 by saying this, and these are words that we're going to live by, not only today, but every day. He says, if you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. You see, to understand Jesus' cross reference, it is vitally important that we study Jesus' cross words. Now, I'm going to admit something. This is not an easy thing to admit because many years ago, I would never have done this. I'm getting a little closer to being comfortable about this. I used to be an athlete. I used to play a lot of sports. I follow sports. I love sports, but I really can't play sports anymore. My 44, soon to be 45-year-old body is breaking down. Yesterday, we were out. I was running with the girls, took them out to the park, and the girls took off running. I was like, hey, I can catch them. No, I could not. In fact, the girls were laughing at me because I was not as fast as you girls. So I found a new interest. Now, I'm going to admit, I've always had an interest in crosswords. I like them. It's a lot different than baseball, softball, basketball, football, and golf. But I like crosswords. When my mom and dad subscribed to the TV guide, they would use it to figure out what was on TV. I would use it to do the crossword puzzle and figure out if I could beat it before them. My mom and dad would get upset because I was the one who would always get to it first, and my goal was to conquer it, to be victorious over it. I wanted to defeat that crossword, and I felt like I knew enough about TV to get it. So one day, when my father-in-law, whom I dearly love, Methodist pastor and former DS, retired, he gave me a lot of books. And in this stack of books was this book. I don't know what he was doing with it, but it is the Jumbo Bible Crossword Collection, Volume 2, 200 Bible crosswords. Now, if you look closely, you can see that these have not been done. Folks, this is my retirement book. I am saving it for that. I've been tempted to step in and do something with it, but I'm not. I'm going to leave it. And when I retire, probably 40 years from now, I will sit in my room and I will do every one of these 200 crosswords. My poor wife, she's going to have to deal with me with these. But I will conquer these. So now you know, this is what I'll be doing in retirement. All right, but this is not about crossword puzzles. Rather, it's about the fact that Jesus' words spoken from the cross should teach us and prepare us and inspire us. They should lead us and prepare us to not puzzle us. In fact, they should be the words that direct us to Jesus. So before we attempt to carry our cross, let's look at what Jesus had to say from that cross and the triumph that came from it as well. In fact, in Colossians 2:15, we read that again. It says, in this way, God took away Satan's power to accuse you of sin, and God openly displayed to the whole world Christ's triumph at the cross where your sins were all taken away. Proverbs 22:17, Solomon tells us this. He says that we are to pay attention to the words of the wise. Now we're going to go through these cross words, the seven sayings that Jesus gave us from the cross to understand just what Easter Sunday is all about. And I promise you this, Jesus' words from the cross are wise. And we can learn a lot from them. Now, this is not an example of wise words, I don't believe. A semi-truck driver was traveling down the freeway one day and he saw a sign with the words that said, low bridge ahead. Before he knew it, the bridge was directly ahead of him and he got his semi-truck wedged under it. Cars were backed up for miles and hours. Finally, a police car arrived. Cop got out of his car slowly, walked around to the semi-truck driver, put his hands on his hips, looked up to the cab and said, got stuck, huh? Semi-truck driver replied, no, I was just delivering this bridge and ran out of gas. Those aren't wise words at all. What were the last seven sayings that Jesus spoke from the cross? And how do those cross words provoke and propel us and not puzzle us as we carry our proverbial cross to victory? One of my good friends in Bloomington, Pastor John Rayford, pastors Mount Moriah Christian Church in Bloomington, every year on Good Friday, he invites seven pastors into his church, and he wants every one of them to take one of the sayings from the cross and to expound on them. Today we're going to take every single saying. I'm taking this from John Rayford. We're going to take every single saying from the cross. We're going to talk about them, and we're going to determine just what these mean with regards to our Easter Sunday. So first, let's look at this one. Jesus says in John 19, 28, he says, I'm thirsty. The first saying that we get from the cross, Jesus' cross words, I'm thirsty. As a kid, I used to say that a lot. That was my way of getting my mom to make us Kool-Aid. Mom, I'm thirsty. She knew exactly what she had to do. But these words were not good words. These were words of torment. You see, God's word makes it very clear that suffering and torment are oftentimes the means to triumph. Hebrews 2:10 says this, and it was right and proper that God, who made everything for his own glory, should allow Jesus to suffer. For in doing this, he was bringing vast multitudes of God's people to heaven. For his suffering made Jesus a perfect leader, one fit to bring them into their salvation. Paul said in Romans 8:18, he says, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that he will give us later. Folks, these crosswords are clear. A winner must be willing to suffer. The chaplain of the Georgia Tech football team knew this. His words were meant to inspire. He knew that when they were out on that field that they were going to be in torment and pain, that they would suffer immensely, but the goal would be victory. Now, he could have taken a different approach. He could have simply said, boys, I've gone to the locker room. I've seen your opponent today. They're big, and they're good, and you will lose. They're better than you. So what I'm going to say today, boys, is don't even worry about going out there. You're going to get hurt. I mean, you're going to get really hurt. These guys are huge, and they really want to beat you up bad. He didn't choose this. He prepared them for battle because he knew that to have victory, that there is going to be pain, and he knew that they were going to have to suffer. Folks, today on this Easter Sunday, many people come into churches worldwide and they think this, they think that I can get through this life without ever carrying a cross. I'll never have to carry my cross. And today I tell you this, it is painful, it is burdensome, and it is tough, but we are asked to carry our cross. Next, Jesus says in Mark 15:34, he says, and we remember these words, second cross word saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? These crosswords have puzzled a lot of people. But these words were words of second terminology. These words were words of despair spoken by Christ as he became sin for all of mankind. You see, Paul understood this despair. He got it. He went through it. He said in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 9, he says, we felt we were doomed to die. And we saw how powerless we were to help ourselves. But that was good. For then we put everything in the hands of God, who alone could save us. For he can raise the dead. Verse 11, and he did help us. And he saved us from a terrible death. You see, words of despair are oftentimes spoken when we don't think God is there. Now, I want to explain this because this is an important passage with regards to cross words. Many people have been puzzled. They say, well, why would Jesus call out to God? Why would he say, my God, my Father, why have you forsaken me? It's important for us to know this. When we sin, when we sin, we are separated from God. When we commit two sins, that separation gets larger and bigger. When we continue to sin without confessing our sins and repenting of our sins, the chasm gets wider and longer. And all of a sudden, we are now fully separated from God if we do not allow the Holy Spirit to convict us of sins. On that day, on that cross, Jesus Christ became the sin, not only for all of you and me, but for all the world, through all of eternity, through all of history, and all of that. Jesus Christ said this, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because at that point, Jesus Christ did not feel the closeness, the comfort of his Father, because he had to be the sin, the sacrifice for all of us, for all of mankind, for all time. Now we can fully understand just what despair is. We have people in this church today who have gone through despair, who have actually said things and thought things and said, God, why are you not there? And these people in this church and churches worldwide have said this, I know you're there. I'll take my cross, I'll carry it, and I'll go where you are at because I know that you got this, that you will get us there. If we are going to be like Jesus, we're going to carry our cross to victory. There will be despair and there will be torment, but just like Jesus, we must display forgiveness. Remember the cross words from Luke 23, 34? Crazy when you think about it. He says, Father, as he's hanging from the cross, he says, Father, forgive these people, for they don't know what they're doing. Now, we might say, oh, yes, they did know what they were doing. Jesus, they didn't like you. They didn't trust you. They didn't want to listen to you. They didn't want to be like you. They wanted to be away from you, and they wanted to get rid of you. And that's why they hung you on the cross. But see, that's how we look at it. We look at it oftentimes from a place of vengeance. Jesus says, you can't look at it like this. Jesus says, you've got to look through my eyes, and that is a place of forgiveness. We are to forgive others as Jesus has forgiven us. Matthew 6, 14 and 15, Jesus says this. Your heavenly Father will forgive you if you forgive others who sin against you. But if you refuse to forgive them, he will not forgive you. Folks, winners are forgivers. Winners know that our fellow man are sinners. We know that we're going to be done wrong to. We know that we're going to be wronged against. We know that we're going to face this every single day. And on Easter Sunday, we say this. Because of Jesus, I'm capable of forgiveness. Jesus' crosswords found in John 19, 26 and 27, where Jesus speaks to his mother about John and says, he is your son. Then he charged John to care for his mother by saying, she is your mother. These are cross words of love. You see, Paul cautioned us in 1 Corinthians 13, 7. We know this passage. This is the love chapter. We know it very well. We've talked about it not that long ago. 1 Corinthians 13, 7. We're going to use the King James Version as we read this. Pardon the oof. Here we go. Love beareth all things. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound great. Have you ever had to bear something? Bearing something is not great. Not B-A-R-E. That's a completely different kind of bear. I'm talking about B-E-A-R. Love beareth all things. That's not good. Here it gets a little better. Love believeth all things. That's good. Love hopeth all things. That's even better. But then Paul says, love endureth all things. You see, beareth and endureth, or bearing and enduring, requires working, requires doing, requires trying. And for those of you who are married out there, for those of you who have been married for a long time, you know that while there is hope and there's belief, that there is also these things called bearing and enduring that come into play. You see, as we carry our cross to get our crown, we cannot forget to love God and the people that he puts on our path. Typically, people who win together love each other. See that video? Georgia Tech football team standing there as the chaplain is addressing them, motivating them to go out and achieve victory. And what were the men doing? This is what they weren't doing. They weren't saying, I don't like you. In fact, I really don't trust this guy at all. He's terrible. I mean, that's a D3 prospect. I can't believe he's on our team. They didn't do that. Locked, arm in arm, ready to go to battle together because they trusted each other, they believed in each other, they loved each other. And these are the words that we take with us today. You and I have got to love each other. We got to trust in each other. We got to believe in each other because Jesus loved us that much. Jesus loved and trusted his heavenly Father. That's what we're called to do today. Those are the crosswords we take with us today. When our kids look in our eyes, you know this, moms and dads. When your kids look in your eyes and they believe that you've got the answers, that you know what you're talking about, you know what that says? That says that they love you and they trust you and they'll go to battle for you. Love accomplishes more than we can ever know. I love thinking that we can do something more than what we're doing today because of what Jesus Christ did as we celebrate Easter Sunday. Romans 8:37 says this, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us enough to die for us. Love leads us to victory. Love will give us ultimate victory. Torment, despair, forgiveness, and love. Look at Luke 23:46. Here it comes. Number five, Jesus shouted, Father, I commit my spirit to you. These crosswords are all about committing and yielding to God. It means giving in, and it means giving everything to him. This is not easy, especially for men. We'll admit it. But when we say, Father, I commit my life to you, I commit my spirit to you, I commit my family to you, I commit my job to you, I commit my home to you, I commit everything to you. Do we mean it? Because Jesus meant it. Jesus hung on that cross. Jesus suffered on that cross. And Jesus said, Father, now I give myself to you. Jesus was about to give up his life. Today, our Heavenly Father asks us to do the same thing. To give up our lives to serve him for eternal life. Are we willing to commit like Jesus did? Psalm 37:5. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him to help you do it, and he will. Folks, carrying a cross requires commitment, but he will help us do it. Matthew 11:28, I love this passage. It says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. Folks, carrying a cross would be burdensome. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Rest. And when you carry a cross, you need rest. And today, on this Easter Sunday, today you can come in here, you can give him your burdens. And you can say, I'll carry my cross, but God, I need rest. Who could ever forget what Jesus offered the criminal on the cross, as seen in Luke 23:43, our sixth crossword saying. Jesus says to him, today you will be with me in paradise. This is a solemn promise. Jesus' cross words offer salvation. And this salvation leads to our coronation, our triumph. Number 7, our triumph, our victory, our crown. Revelation 2:10. Let us never forget Jesus' cross words from John 19:30, where he says, it is finished. It is finished. Words of victory for all of believing and saved mankind. It is finished. No more torment. No more despair. No more need for forgiveness, because when we get to heaven, that won't be necessary. We're just in constant companionship and fellowship with Jesus. You see, our love for Jesus will lead to salvation through Jesus that will give us eternal life with Jesus. You know, it's interesting, the English, it is finished, that English version, it is finished, comes from the original Greek word, tetelestai, which is translated, the victor's shout. Now, what do we say when we win? What do we say? In my house, I know what we say. When my Illini win, when my Cubs win, when my Timberwolves win, when my Colts win, we scream, we shout, and we yell, we won! And we don't care if the girls are asleep. And sometimes they'll say, what were you guys doing downstairs? And I'll say, oh, we were celebrating. Because that's what we do. We win. And when we win, we shout. And when we shout, we get excited because we love winning. Insert Cubs, Cardinals jokes here. I understand. They're all over the place. This is opening night. I get it. Probably won't be shouting tonight. I get it. I know you want to go there, Cardinal fans. Here's the point. The point is that we have to know what to do when we win. And today we say this. Today we can say, because of what Jesus did, that he overcame sin, that for him he was allowed to say, it is finished. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:14, he says, thanks be to God, for through what Christ has done, he has triumphed over us, so that now wherever we go, he uses us to tell others about the Lord and spread the gospel like a sweet perfume. Let me ask you this. Do we sound like, look like, act like, smell like Jesus when we're out among the masses? I mean, in essence, do people see winners when they see us? Do you walk around as a winner? Do you feel good about your relationship with Jesus Christ, the victor? In essence, when they meet you, do they say, oh, man, that guy was a downer. Oh, wait a second, he's a Christian? Can't be. No way. Doesn't seem like that to me. Doesn't feel like a winner. Doesn't seem like a winner. Doesn't act like a winner. Or do they, when they see you, do they say, that's a winner? That's somebody who believes in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Jesus died on the cross and defeated the cross and defeated death. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:54, 55, and 58, listen closely to these words. He says in 1 Corinthians 15:54, 55, 58, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where then your victory? Where then your sting? Since future victory is sure, be strong and steady, always abounding in the Lord's work, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever wasted as it would be if there was no resurrection. But there was. And because of what Jesus did, we can win. And the crown that we look forward to awaits us in heaven. This is what we look forward to. But listen to what Paul says. He says, since future victory is sure. Since future victory is sure. What does that mean? It means today that you will continue to win in life. Because your goal will be eternal life. If you say, I've arrived, I made it to church on Easter Sunday, I must have won. In many ways you might feel like that. In many ways we feel like that on any day. But when you arrive, when you come into the church on Easter Sunday, and when you realize that you have an opportunity to win, it's not just reserved for this day. You see, your victory will be secured each and every day, but especially when you get to eternal life on that day where you can say, I have made it to heaven. It is finished. Paul talks about this heavenly prize in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, and Philippians 3, 14. He says, I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God is calling us up to heaven because of what Jesus Christ did for us. If we are forgiving and loving and living for Jesus, we are winning. But we haven't yet won until we join our Savior in heaven. He is the victor. He is our goal. We must carry that cross to that place. And the question is today, are you willing to carry that cross? You see, his crosswords teach us and lead us and motivate us on how to carry our cross to the finish line, where we can say, with victory in our hearts, it is finished. But it won't be easy. His seven last sayings came while he hung from that cross for six long hours. Victory is never easy. Jesus' crosswords prove this. William Barclay once said, he says, the victor is the man who refuses to believe that God has forgotten him, even when every fiber of his being feels that he is forsaken. The victory is the man who will never let go of his faith, even when he feels its last grounds are gone. He says, the victor is the man who's been beaten to the depths and still holds on to God. For that is what Jesus did. His crosswords remind us of this. Jesus' crosswords are not meant to puzzle believers, but rather they're meant to propel them to make winners out of sinners. Are we willing on this Easter Sunday, among this brethren, are we willing to carry our proverbial cross to claim our eternal prize? Are we willing to keep winning to get the crown in heaven that is awaiting us? This is the question that we ask today. Victory will be ours if we continue to carry our cross and follow the example that he set for all of us. To do this, we must live like, love like, think like, and talk like our eternal victor, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So today I ask you this. Are we willing to do what Jesus did? Are we willing to use the cross, carry the cross, and bear the cross, and endure the cross to get us to that place in our lives where we can say, we join Jesus who defeated the cross? Eternal life will be ours today. We will not lose any more time. We will not suffer eternal loss. Today, we will celebrate with Jesus Christ in heaven. We are winning, but we will continue doing and we'll continue working until we get to that point where we can say, I'm finished. This is a victory cry for us today, folks. This is a day on Easter Sunday where we can walk away from this church and we can say, the cross may be heavy and it may be burdensome. It may be a challenge and it may be difficult. It may be something that we never thought we could do, but today, on this Easter Sunday, I can carry the cross, I can win this battle, and I can look forward to eternal life with my Lord and Savior. Happy Easter, everyone. It's Victory Sunday. We will continue to win. Let's stand and close. Number 367, Christ the Lord is risen today. Let's pray for the food and drink and then for a great Easter Sunday. Our Heavenly Father, you teach us what victory is. You show us this through Jesus. And we are grateful that we get to celebrate today. It's a day in which we're reminded that when we say goodbye to our loved ones, it's only for a short amount of time. That as believers in Jesus Christ and doers for Jesus Christ, that we can live in eternity with Jesus Christ and with our loved ones. This is a promise that we celebrate. And we are grateful for it. Help us to immerse ourselves in your word. Help us to immerse ourselves in the filling of the Holy Spirit. And help us to do what you've called us to do, to accomplish your purpose, not only for us, but for those around us and those that live with us. And I pray today that we would impact the lives of others as you have impacted us. Bless our food that we are about to partake of. Thank you for bringing it to us. Thank you for allowing it to mean so much to us. And help us today as we celebrate this Easter Sunday to immerse ourselves in victory. We won. Thank you so much. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.